Thank you very much, Mr. Butcher. Are there questions from any of the committee members for the nominee? You can either raise your virtual hand or your actual hand and I'll recognize you. Senator Vitale.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome Mr. Butcher to the committee for this hearing this morning. I was definitely impressed at looking over your resume, and as a long ago graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, I remember fondly the Steel City having cleaned up its act since I was there. My question is, just taking off on some of what you said in your opening remarks, is that you indicated you were clear about what is needed and you're good at both addressing short and long-term goals. So my question is, what's the first thing that's needed to move this forward?
Thank you, Senator. In some ways, it's a hard question because there are many first things that need to happen. And I'm glad to have been able to be engaged on contract and help support some of the first initial activities over the course of the last couple weeks. And those things entail getting the organization in a place of capability. So putting in place organizational structure, everything from establishing a bank account to being able to submit the application to the Department of Treasury to receive capital project funds. So we need to do the things to stand up the organization. But strategically, we also have an opportunity to distill stakeholder input over the last 6 months for the Connectivity Authority into a concise and cogent strategic summary, which the authority has been seeking public comment on for the last 3 weeks. With that distilled strategic summary, really, we have to get the money to work as quick as possible. In order to get the money to work, we have to have the organizational structure. In order to sustain the impact, we also have to build an organizational team. So as soon as possible, I'd like to begin putting in place components of adding team members with a complementary set of skills. And then I think we have a really strong strategy in place, and it's a matter of executing on that and being adaptive as to the priorities of the time. Happy to elaborate on any and all of that.
Great, thank you.
Any follow-up, Senator Vitale? Rep. Senator Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Butcher, congratulations on your nomination. Thank you for taking the time here to meet with us. I have a few concerns, but I'll start off with one that I think I've raised before, and that is that CMA was formed with the idea that it would be an opportunity for rural Maine to get connected. And you being a resident of southern part of the state, continues to raise my concern even further that the folks in my area, and I'm in central Maine, I can't even speak for northern Maine, but rural Maine is a lot different for us than rural Maine for you, and I refer to areas such as Gray, outside of Gray, and I know there is a lot of woods in southern Maine as well. My concern is how you, working with the board, will carry out the mission that I saw in the way that the bill was worded to help folks in my part of the state and in even more so in northern Maine. I'll leave that for you. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you, Representative Foster. And thank you for emphasizing that concern and that priority. It is one that I share. I'll sort of respond in a couple ways. One of the best things about having spent the last couple of years at the Greater Portland Council of Governments is the diversity of the Greater Portland region. Balancing urban, suburban, and rural needs is a huge priority that I've been grateful to get a sense of how that takes shape in Maine. And within that framework, through the work with the Broadband Coalition, it's been incredible to connect with stakeholders throughout the state. And I've been really proud of being able to recruit over a third of the membership for the advisory committee from representing rural and central and northern Maine representation. I'm not from rural Maine. I'm not from northern Maine, but this doesn't mean that I don't appreciate and sympathize with the needs and the interests. On a very personal level, as the youngest of five older sisters, I was brought up with, well, to learn two really important lessons. One is to always listen first, and two, to kind of assume that I'm going to be wrong regardless. But what that has instilled in me is, I think, a really good orientation towards listening to different interests and trying to find common ground. That enabled me to serve as a mediator for the city of Boulder, Colorado, since the age of 16. So while I'm not from a particular place, it certainly means that I have a deep level. It doesn't mean that I don't have a deep level of sympathy and understanding for that place. I do hear the voice of rural and northern Maine. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. And I'm really grateful for those that I reached out to in lead up to today's hearing to provide their support. And I'm glad to have been able to establish a number of relationships with Maine's most rural and remote communities. I'm happy to elaborate on that if we want to talk further about capacity building throughout Maine in an effort to engage both the already engaged and informed communities and an effort to further engage those that are not engaged and with the least amount of connectivity. But thank you for that question.
Any follow-up, Representative Foster? I saw your hand up for a moment, Representative Carlo. Did you have a question or did you withdraw it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a question, and I'm satisfied with the response to the previous question.
Okay, Senator Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations, Mr. Butcher, on your nomination today, and I feel confident that you'll be confirmed today. Do have some questions, one of which was already brought up, and I actually think it's more a function, candidly, of it's not your fault that you live in Portland, right? I don't necessarily hold that against you. I'm disappointed that there isn't more of a geographic dispersion within the committee as a whole. And I've made those remarks on the floor of the Senate before when the other nominees were being confirmed. And I was assured then that my concerns would be addressed when we got to this hearing. And that did not in fact happen, which I think is unfortunate and a missed opportunity for the state of Maine. Again, not your fault. One thing I do want to talk about today, and hoping you can provide some more insight to. You'll recall a hearing that you participated in with the UT committee. There was a number of hearings you participated in, but one in particular that I still have some concerns about in your present capacity, which is not in you know the capacity that you're seeking here, but with regard to different types of technological capabilities being used for that last mile connectivity throughout Maine. The sense that I got from you at that hearing was that it was basically anything that's not fiber to the home is not going to be something that your group was supporting at that time. At least that was the takeaway from the position that I understood that day at the hearing. That's a big problem for my constituents, because my constituents, I represent 51 towns in rural Maine. There's a couple pockets of urban areas. I live in one of them. But the rest of the, and even in Presque Isle here, there's plenty of places I could show you if you want to go door to door with me, that they're not going to be able to be served by fiber. And they're not going to be able to be served by those more expensive technologies that are not going to be able to yield any sort of long-term benefit for basically the internet service providers. That hearing, you'll recall, was about adopting a new technology at the time called Starlink, and looking at different ways to get creative about how we address that last mile, particularly in rural Maine. And so my concerns and my question for you is, can we expect something different in this new capacity out of this group with regard to the last mile? Because what we're really talking about when we say last mile is folks that live in rural Maine, folks that live on dirt roads or long roads in rural areas where there's maybe a couple houses per mile, and they're tough to serve because of that dynamic with revenues and the traditional model of internet service. So how would you respond to that? What is going to be different this time? And is there any chance of getting a commitment from you today that, you know, my constituents will be better served by this new organization, and that your group will be looking very creatively and not excluding any sort of new technologies from serving them?
Thank you, Senator Stewart. I'm very glad that you've asked this question. I've thought a lot about it on a couple levels, and so I hope my response isn't going to be too long-winded, but I have a couple levels of response. First and foremost, there's absolutely a role for integrating non-fiber solutions into the Maine Connectivity Authority strategy. Wireless and low Earth orbit solutions like Starlink will likely continue to play a role in enabling solutions in both extremely remote places as well as urban and competitive markets. How we incorporate public subsidy is important to be mindful about if we want to stretch public funds as far as possible for the long term. So experts do agree that fiber is a gold standard, but experts also agree that Maine is the epitome of a very tricky case. And so I believe that we want to deploy the gold standard where we can do it practically and quickly, but we need all options to be on the table, and we definitely can't leave people behind. Unfortunately, with the authority, we now have the ability to be strategic, proactive, and iterative in the approach. So the technology is rapidly evolving, as are the economics. My previous concern had been around making sure that we don't leave people with alternative technology and minimal options for the long term. As far as how we're proactively trying to address that, we have incorporated a very clear set of goals around alternative technologies in our strategic summary. And we've distilled it into an explicit activity of evaluating alternatives for strategic deployment, and believe very much that we'll want to be proactive in identifying partnerships for the development of a series of pilot projects in trial and various technologies, evaluate how best to layer into a multi-phased approach in various places. So I just want to reiterate personally, and I think we as an agency are open to all solutions and options, and recognize that we have to be wise stewards of this once in a lifetime opportunity. So, you know, I do choose my words carefully, because I think, you know, fiber Zionists will feel that this isn't a strong enough commitment, and alternative advocates may assert that it's too conservative. But I very much think that it's that balanced and pragmatic approach that is exactly what's needed.
Thank you. Any follow-up, Senator Stewart?
Not at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Berry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Butcher, great to be with you. Appreciate your willingness to serve in this very, very important capacity. I just wanted to ask you, based on your experience of working with legislators in the past, if you can convey any of the wisdom that you've learned about how to deal with the 186, 187 legislators that you'll be reporting to periodically, and you know, what takeaways you've had from your experiences with the Broadband Caucus and other venues along those lines. It'll be a two-way street.
Absolutely. I was hoping that that's what we were doing today. And I frankly would like as much of it and as possible. You know, the opportunity last year to facilitate the Broadband Caucus on behalf of the Broadband Coalition was a really, really important opportunity to refine, not just to share the messages from the Broadband Coalition, but to better understand keys and concerns. I think through the Broadband Caucus, I think probably helped galvanize for me a balanced and pragmatic approach in regard to the alternative technologies that we were just talking about. And I think that, you know, everyone acknowledges that the state has been extremely under-resourced in the ability to address some of the challenges. That means that the staff that's been in place to work on broadband have been hyper-focused on just doing the work to get the money out. I think one of the best things about the Connectivity Authority is that we will have capacity to engage stakeholders across the spectrum, most especially the legislature. So, you know, to be very specific about it, you know, I look forward and truly hope that I'm able to spend time with you, Senator Stewart, and the rest of you that are interested around alternative technologies in prioritizing both the pilot projects and the partnerships and putting in place the performance measures that help us better test what it looks like to have short-term solutions, how we bridge those short-term solutions to long-term solutions and maximize benefit for as many people as possible. So I think that there's a huge opportunity for an ongoing collaborative relationship, and I truly look forward to having that.
Senator Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Different line of questioning. So in Maine, we have the Connect Maine Authority, right? And this group was intended to be a different approach to achieving the goal of broadband expansion and access to high-speed internet across the state. So in the initial documents that have come out from the committee so far, there's been some talk about, essentially adopting those same rules that were implemented for Connect Maine, and in fact, even, providing money from this authority to Connect Maine. I'm wondering if you could comment on that. It's a little tricky, obviously, because you're not in the position yet. It's nothing formal yet that's been adopted, but I definitely am concerned about sort of redundancies here. Is this going to be another organization to do the same thing, or are you planning on doing something different with this organization as it moves forward and as you grab the reins here?
Thank you. Yes. As to Connect Maine, I think, as I mentioned, it's been not a lot of people doing a lot of work, and so I'm very pleased. And I think that we all owe the Connect Maine staff and board a huge debt of gratitude for the tireless work and tremendous progress to date. I'm very pleased that we've been able to get to work and thinking strategically around how to align and ultimately integrate efforts so that there isn't a concern of redundancy and so that there is clear public perception around what are requirements and who is responsible. And I believe that we are on target for a report to this body in just a few weeks and have been operating from a shared commitment to not disrupt the current pipeline of funding and expectations and to get the money working as soon as possible. I think as to another part of your question, the Connectivity Authority will be the recipient of a known amount of at least $250 million. Those funds have their own parameters associated with them. Mostly they are aligned and mostly they are similar, but there are distinctions and there are differences. And fortunately, I think the state of Maine has been predicting the evolution in the market space and has been adjusting rules and standards accordingly. But I think first and foremost, the Connectivity Authority is going to have to be mindful of the parameters set forth by the funding sources. And that will layer in to the ultimate alignment and integration with Connect Maine. And to another part of your question, I will say that in the near future, I'm hopeful, and I think that, Connectivity Authority and Connect Maine will be able to collectively announce, some initial strategy as to deployment of a first round of funding. Does that address some of your questions?
I think so. I recognize you're in kind of it's a tough question to answer at this point, given the position of things. I think that we'll see when that report comes out, what sort of the game plan is, but I guess I would just more than anything sort of caution against, getting too close to that sun in terms of just a redundant, setup in terms of grant opportunities and the like, if that makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense, I guess, more than
yeah, that. Well, that last part resonates in particular as a, as an entrepreneur who has supported and directly pursued grants in a couple different ways. I can absolutely assure you that I'm committed to reducing redundancy and complexity for those seeking grants. And I do think that that is one of the great things that is taking shape right now in cohesion with Connect Maine and the Connectivity Authority. And the progress that Connect Maine has made is streamlining that grant process and streamlining the access so that there's more clarity and fewer hoops. And I'm very much committed to ensuring that there's not redundancy. And I think that that's a good thing to have a level of good relationship in place between Connect Maine and the Connectivity Authority.
Any follow-ups, Senator Stewart? Okay, thank you. Representative Carlo?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and congratulations, Mr. Butcher, on your nomination. I'm very appreciative of your willingness to serve the people of Maine as president of the Maine Connectivity Authority. I also want to thank you and recognize you for your work with the Broadband Caucus. I attended a few of those meetings and I found those to be very helpful. The communities of Hollis and Buxton, which I represent in the state legislature, are very rural, and many of my constituents are underserved. They do not have the broadband access that they need to access their work, school, and personal activities. Come to the committee with a wide and impressive range of experience and qualifications. But that being said, I had the opportunity to review your application packet and the responses to the legislative staff questionnaire. In your packet, you didn't mention the word rural at all. So I want to give you the opportunity to discuss with the committee any specific accomplishments that you're proud of in working with rural communities specifically in accessing this critical piece of technology.
Absolutely. Thank you, Representative Carlo. Please forgive any omission along those lines. Because I think one of the things I feel most proud about with the Broadband Coalition is the expansion of partnerships and stakeholders in the most rural areas in the state. A couple specifics. I've been really pleased. I think I mentioned that I was pleased to add over a third of the advisory committee members from places such as Aroostook and Penobscot counties. One of the things I'm most excited about to have completed with the Broadband Coalition is just taking shape now, is the development of a community of practice. In recognizing that the work that's happening that's most successful in deployment of broadband throughout the state is being led by a network of practitioners in everywhere from the Maine West community to Aroostook County to Washington County. Those practitioners already have an informal network in place, but what we designed was a program to boost their capacity, both by creating a sort of super volunteer network known as the Connectivity Boosters, which provides sort of a targeted level of education and capacity for those practitioners, as well as a more formal and consistent education program so that those practitioners can both share their lessons learned, but then also share additional resources. And I emphasize that because of that network of 12 practitioners, I believe about 10 of them represent Maine's most rural communities. And I think the thing that I've learned through the Broadband Coalition is that some of the most important work we can do is to distill resources and make them as accessible as possible to the people that are already doing the work. I think one of the things I feel confident about in making sure that rural Maine is well connected is that there are already experts within rural Maine who simply just need access to resources and the ability to trial out different solutions in different places. And this is, again, where we get to some of the alternative technologies. We are now in a place where we can be more iterative and adaptive to the needs of every different place, whether it is a rural community or whether it's more urban and suburban community. And so I think one of the things that I feel very excited and grateful for is to have familiarity with that network and those sets of stakeholders to be able to meet them where they're at and actually provide the resources that are most appropriate based upon where they're at. I hope that helps address your question.
Are you all set on your question, Representative Berry? I believe it was Representative Berry, or maybe it was Representative Carlo. I apologize. You're all set? Okay, thank you. Representative Wadsworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations, Mr. Butcher, and Happy New Year. I'm sure by now you figured out that Mainers are frugal people. And you may be joining this authority at a time of unprecedented federal funding. And Tim Schneider educated the committee that the authority may have up to $250 million to deploy. How can you be frugal with that much money? And how do you get the most out of that for Maine?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking this question. As a, I am familiar with the challenges and needs of a startup organization. What I'm not familiar with is the lack of fear on a daily basis of how myself and or team members are going to get paid. That fear doesn't exist in this situation because there's actually money on the table. So I'm unfamiliar with that dynamic, but what I am, I think what that familiarity in the past has enabled me is the ability to be very resourceful and scrappy and intentional, both in an organizational level and how to make the dollars stretch as far as possible. That will always be a need for any organization, and I think the Connectivity Authority is no different. What we also have the ability to do by the design and intent of the statute enabling the authority is to deploy financial mechanisms that do allow for us to be both frugal and resourceful through the duration of the organization. So we as a state have never had the ability to create a revolving loan fund at a low interest for local internet service providers or even communities or other partners to be able to pursue low cost capital to be able to implement their connectivity needs. Not only does that stretch the dollars even further, but it also does create, you know, even at a low interest level, the ability to generate ongoing sources of support for the organization and for the connectivity needs of the state. It also means that, you know, there is the need ultimately to think about how to spend a little bit, to save a little bit, and to make a little bit, in that there are resources being allocated to the state, and there are a number of resources that are competitive throughout the country. And we will need to have in place some degree of capacity to be able to pursue additional resources so that we can provide both adaptive resources for places and to be more proactive in additional projects elsewhere. So, you know, I wish I could say there's much more of a catch-all response to that, but I'm very excited to be able to be thoughtful and considerate in both how to be scrappy, resourceful, and intentional for the future.
Any follow-up, Representative Wadsworth? Any other questions from the committee? Representative Foster?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And along that same line, Mr. Butcher, I'll make a comment. First of all, although Commissioner Johnson mentioned that this bill to create this authority passed unanimously, basically under the hammer, I was opposed to creating another larger bureaucracy when it came before the committee. As far as I'm concerned, whether it was Connect Maine operating on a $1.5 million budget, or in this case, Connect Maine Authority operating under a 150 to, I think you mentioned the number, $400 million budget, this is ratepayer and taxpayer money that we're talking about. We need to keep that in mind. And I will forego my question. I think Mr. Representative Wadsworth already asked how you'd be frugal. But I will suffice it to say that we'll be looking at your budget and your process and how we end up with, as I've said many times, recognizing the importance of getting as many citizens connected per dollar as possible. With that in mind, my question is, in my area, many of my constituents looking at, if fiber is going by their residence, looking at a $69.95 a month high-speed internet bill, are not going to be able to afford that in light of what they're going to be paying for everything else. And I look forward to the opportunity as more people are connected that those numbers would help drive prices down. I'm wondering if you would, how you see the authority looking at the availability and the affordability to our residents, especially in this part of the state where folks don't have the incomes that they have in your part of the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Foster. I think that that is a huge reason for the very existence of the Connectivity Authority. Addressing affordability throughout the state is top priority, and I think is complicated on several levels. I think there are federal resources now. I think the FCC created the new version of the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program, providing $50 per consumer through the new Affordable Connectivity Program, which provides $30 per consumer. The uptake on those programs has been limited. And I believe Director Schaefer has spoken to this committee a little bit about that in the past. And the uptake is limited because it's been a really tough bureaucracy to navigate. So I think one thing that we have the ability to do, hopefully as an authority, is to identify a way in which it becomes easier for consumers to be able to access those direct subsidy. And that's true for residents in all places. And I think as a connectivity authority, with digital equity and affordability is top priorities, top two of three priorities. That's the kind of thing that we'll be able to both allocate precious staff time towards and prioritize in a number of different ways. The other responses to that get to an ongoing conversation that I look forward to having with this committee around how are we intentional around the economics of connectivity in the state? Does it mean more options from a technological standpoint? Does it mean creating places where there are publicly owned infrastructure that helps reduce the cost to consumers? So these are options that we have at our disposal to evaluate more intentionally, and I'm very eager to be able to explore that because I assure you affordability is as much an issue in your neck of the woods as it is in mine. As is internet performance in general, I will say, as I think most of you have been on calls with me where even my connection here and on the peninsula in Portland has been among the worst. And I will also just say in response, I remember the vote very well, and it was a little bit of a kind of a great moment for me in that this authority was actually voted into existence by the legislature actually on my birthday this summer. And I remember your dissension very well because you made several good points.
Thank you. Any follow-up, Representative Foster? Any other questions from the committee?